Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our best interviews are often highlighted right on the main screen? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
He is Chief Economist Goldman Sachs, Jan Hatzius. Jan, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a terrific note, just a terrific note framing the data that is optimistic and that is less so. You write differences in scope. Discuss that. What are the differences in scope as economists fight about the forward view on U.S. growth?
So, I mean, I think if you look at some of the numbers recently, there's been quite a bit of deviation. You've got labor market data, which generally have been quite positive. Last Friday's data, the claims numbers for really the past few months, those are consistent with a labor market that's at least currently improving at a notable speed, as the Fed said in yesterday's statement. At the same time, you look at the incoming numbers on GDP and the components of GDP, and that's still looking quite a bit more sluggish. You've got first quarter GDP tracking at about 2% growth by our estimates, and final demand over the past few couple of quarters on average, probably growing below that. So I think as Chairman Bernanke said a couple of weeks ago in the monetary policy testimony, there are still some questions about how quickly the economy is recovering.
Your signature call was an unemployment rate that would stay elevated. Have you changed that?
Well, we've brought it down. Clearly, the labor market data have been better. We've marked our forecasts to the lower level of the unemployment rate that we've seen over the past few months. But we don't think that the unemployment rate is going to come down quickly from these lower levels. And that's partly a call on the growth pace of the economy and the growth pace of employment, and it's partly also a belief that the decline in the labor force participation rate that continued through 2011, that is probably coming to an end.
Well, Jan, if I can work some politics into this discussion, where is the unemployment rate on election day?
We have it at a little over 8%, 8.2%.
So basically the same as it is now. Does it go down below 8 and go back?
Different.
I'm sorry?
Not much different.
Yeah.
That's right.
Does it go down below 8 and come back up?
No, we don't. We've got it pretty stable at these levels.
Jan, when you look at the GDP call, and this has certainly been our theme today, we've had you in with caution, David Rosenberg in with caution, and others significantly more optimistic. Which component is under the most debate? Which component is under the most scrutiny?
I mean, I think always the discussion is biggest around the consumer spending numbers. That's the biggest part of the economy. It is more stable, obviously, than the CapEx numbers, but it nevertheless, because of its large weight, accounts for much of the variation. And our view on consumption is that we'll continue to see growth in sort of a 2% range or so, and in that kind of environment, it's going to be hard for the economy to grow much further than that, if that's the right view.
So what is a blended non-farm payroll statistic? We've got some people looking for 250, 60, 70,000. You don't agree with that, do you?
No, I mean, over the last 3 months, we've had close to 250,000 on average, but we think that we got temporary help from factors such as the unusually favorable weather, and we also think that the inventory cycle that helped output growth, especially late last year, that has had some positive effects on employment growth as well. And so, as we go forward, we think the growth pace of employment, is probably going to moderate a bit from here.
Well, what about the overall economy? Take us through the year. Well, quarter by quarter, what is GDP going to look like?
So we've got it basically at 2% in Q1. That's essentially a you know, tracking estimate based on the current data flow, and then 2% in Q2 and Q3, wow. And accelerating a bit to 2.5% in Q4.
And you can see the difference there, folks, between so many other people we talked to. Jan, long ago and far away, you invented MEW, mortgage equity withdrawal. And there was a period where we sort of consumed and lived on taking money out of our houses. I don't know what you've coined as the opposite of that, but we've been deleveraging. What does Goldman Sachs research show on how far we are through the citizens, the individuals, the households, how far through deleveraging we are?
So our view is that the healing process is definitely underway. We've definitely made a significant amount of progress. If you look at a number of the statistics on household balance sheets, household debt service, even household debt to disposable income, we've made significant amount of progress. We are seeing, if we take the broader private sector, we are seeing a gradual decline in the private sector financial surplus. It's still very large. The private sector is still running a financial surplus of 6% of GDP, more than 4 percentage points above the historical average. As that comes down, we are getting a boost to spending relative to income. That is a cyclical positive, and we can see that in some improvement as well in in the economy, in the sort of most bubble affected parts of the United States, California,
in the South, yeah.
Florida, Arizona, Nevada actually are starting to do a little better than the country as a whole in terms of the labor market. So we are definitely making progress, but I think it's slow progress. And it's a moderate boost to activity growth, and we are getting some offsetting drag from factors such as energy prices and still some fiscal restraint even in 2012.
Jan, you attended, as I did, the Booth School panel with Bill Dudley, formerly with Goldman Sachs, now at the New York Fed, and Charles Plosser. The distinctive separation, a collegial separation, I would say, at the Federal Open Market Committee. What will the discussion be like in the next 90 days between those worried of inflation and those more confident they can maintain control?
I mean, I think there's clearly a wide range of views about what the economy is going to do and how monetary policy should respond, and you can see that in the projections for which we'll get an update at the April meeting. Projections for interest rates and the economy. I don't think the decision on whether the Fed should ease more has been taken yet. I think it's a discussion that is only just starting. I think the minutes for yesterday's FOMC meeting should be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Probably we will learn more about the prospects of additional easing from that than from the statement. Yesterday's statement clearly didn't say anything about additional easing, nor did anybody really expect that to happen.
I would say, Jan, across all of the interviews I do, the number one mystery is the growth of American income. How do you measure our incomes?
You mean how do? Well, we've got the statistics, of course, from the Commerce Department, and incomes are.
Do you believe them?
I think they're a reasonable estimate, but of course they're pretty lagged and subject to revision. So you take, fourth quarter gross domestic income, we still don't have that estimate. It takes quite a while. You can get proxies from things like the employment report, and those proxies are they're showing decent growth in hours and employment, but obviously still very sluggish growth in hourly wages.
10-year treasuries are up to 2.2 now after being less than 2% just a few days ago. Where's that number going to be at the end of the year?
We have it going modestly higher from here at 2.5%, so about 30 basis points above. Generally, we still think we're going to be in a low interest rate environment, in an environment in which there's still a lot of slack in the economy. The Fed remains friendly, but perhaps not quite as low as we've been over the past few months.
I just sent out on Bloomberg Radio Plus, Ken and Jan, the the chart that Dr. Hatzius mentions, the gross domestic income year-over-year change. And the answer is it's pretty good. It's not 1998 levels. It's not 2005, 2006 levels, Ken, but it's it explains a lot of that consumption we've been seeing.
Okay. And what's the latest for making it available on Android?
It's just been pushed back 3 weeks or so.
Oh, okay.
We're back into May now.
Back into May. Okay. Yeah. Well, Jan, okay, so don't buy 10-year treasuries. What do you buy?
I mean, we're not saying don't buy 10-year treasuries. You know, we still think we're in a you know fairly low interest rate environment, despite you know sort of moderate upward pressure on yields. It's not you know it's not a terrible place to be. But you know, in general, we're sort of in wait and see mode a little bit as far as the you know asset allocation views across economics and strategy are concerned.
What is the greatest...
We do like commodities. You know, we do think that from a long-term perspective, the you know demand-supply picture on commodities, including energy, is still fairly favorable.
When you sit down with your team, Andrew Tilton, Zach Pandel, and the others, what's the mystery out there of the American economy? What's the thing that, not you're bewildered by, but just the thing that, you know, moving forward 3 months or 6 months has the most mystery to it?
I mean, I think one of the questions is, you know, obviously how the gap between the employment numbers and other indicators of economic activity, how that's going to resolve itself. That's probably the number one mystery at the moment. You know, I think there is a lot of uncertainty about the policy views because, you know, as far as the Fed goes, they have not really tipped their hands in terms of what. You know, whether they might ease more. If you look at the January press conference, you know, Bernanke's views there seem to be quite favorable to additional easing. He basically said, under our forecast, I think there is a a strong case for additional accommodation. He has not chosen to repeat that in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're left guessing, of course.
Jan, very valuable. Thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.